Turn in your New Testaments, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, I don't see Mike in here, but I do see Mark, and I see several others here, Marty, that are in my age group that might remember this. Now, let me tell you what, that was a TV right there. In fact, we had the first colored TV in all of Park Place 1 in Port Arthur, Texas. And it had actually a smaller screen than that. But the one I remember first was the one that was black and white. And I got to tell you, you had to get up close to that thing to be able to see it. All right? Sometimes it'd be kind of scratchy. And I can remember Mother now yelling out, "Get away from that TV, you're way too close." You remember that? But she had a point. Today, many of us have a similar situation that we have to deal with at work. Now, that dude is way too close to that monitor, I can tell you that. But there's a whole lot of us who are forced to face a computer all day long. And if your job is to stare at a computer all day long, you know what I'm talking about when I say that there are issues involved with that. After a while, the words get blurry, and your head gets a little foggy, and your eyes begin to start burning, and you blink in your eyes, and they get dry, and you're squinting around trying to see, and your tension is building up inside of your body, and you become less efficient, okay? All because you're staring at a computer screen nonstop. Now, experts have said that the way that you need to deal with that is something called the 20-20-20 rule. Does anybody know what the 20-20-20 rule is? So every 20 minutes, you're supposed to take 20 seconds to look intently at something that is 20 feet away. Or, if you're lucky enough, you can have that view out the window. But what this is this is a reset. You reset your vision process, and it helps you begin to focus again on the work that you have at hand, the work that you're faced with. Now, people who have tried this claim that it works. Thankfully, I don't have to be in front of a computer screen all day long. This COVID thing has caused me to have to be in front of one much longer than I want to be, but I typically don't have to do that. But if you work in an office and that's what you have to do all day long, well, hey, give it a shot. The 20-20-20 rule. And tell everybody that you learned that from the preacher at the Bel Air Church. But there is a correlating spiritual principle here that I believe serves us very well. It serves me very well. When you keep your eyes focused on that which is in the distance, it helps you keep your eyes focused on that which is very close. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm here to tell you that that is my sermon in a nutshell this morning. And this is a two-sermon series, the first of which I preached last week. And it's based upon this passage of Scripture. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And we talked about this. This is about not giving up, not even giving in to the desire to give up. When we lose heart, we become discouraged. We become deflated. Despair consumes us. But thanks be to God that we don't have to lose heart. And that's the good news. And that's what that sermon was about. And that really has all to do with this sermon that we're going to preach this morning. Last we talked, it was regarding the need for daily renewal. And I want you to remember that Paul said that he didn't lose heart because inwardly he was renewed every day. And this involves trying to change what you think. And for me, how you think. It involves spending time along with God each and every day and allowing the inward renewal which comes from the Holy Spirit as He ministers to us. It also involves making time each day for uplifting activities. And what are those activities? We talked about them. Laughing, relaxing, sharing moments with family and with friends. And so I got to thinking about that to try to encapsulate it all before we moved into the second part of this verse. And this is what I came up with. You remind yourself that today's issues are temporary, or that today's issue is temporary. And it is no match for the glory that God has planned for you. Now, have you ever just focused in for 5 or 10 minutes on the glory that God Almighty has planned for His children? Have you ever done that? I suggest that you take 5 minutes and you just concentrate on that. Just 5 minutes regarding the glory that God has planned for us. The situation that you find yourself in that is so horrid, the situation won't last forever. But I can tell you one thing, you'll last forever by God's Spirit working in you. I stop and I think about this, and I concentrate my mind on this, and this helps me. So today, I want us to look at a second reason why we need not lose heart. But first, I want to go back to the passage. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. And then I go to verse 18, and that is what we're going to concentrate on today. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Fixing our eyes, turning our eyes, turning and fixing our eyes, focusing our eyes. There's a play on words here in English. And I want to emphasize what they are. Paul says we fix our eyes, and we know what that means. It means we focus our eyes on certain things. We turn and we train our eyes. But you could also say that when we look where we should be looking, we are fixing our eyes. We are staring. We're clearing our vision. It's like the 20-20-20 rule, I guess. I'll never forget when I first met Muffy, she was on a choral trip, and she happened to be staying with my mom and dad. Anyway, through the grace of God and through His providence, we were able to meet. And anyway, she went back to school, and then when the summer came, they decided that it would be okay for me to come to Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, the only example that I can think of someone who really focuses and fixes their eyes on somebody was her mom with her eyes on me. Because when I got there, I sat down at the kitchen bar. She sat down on the other side of the kitchen bar. And for at least 45 minutes, I was running my mouth. And all she was doing was just staring at me. I'm telling y'all the truth. You talk about awkward. She was just staring at me like that. Finally, I ran out of stuff to say, y'all. I didn't have anything else to say. I'm just trying. Please, lady, would you please say something? And so I stopped and took a big, deep breath, and I looked at her. And she said, still with her eyes fixed on me, "Do you love the Lord?" That was it. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." "I do love the Lord." She says, "Good. That's all I wanted to know." She trained her eyes on me. She fixed her eyes on me. She focused in on me. You look away, and it clears up the blurriness. And when we fix our eyes exclusively on that which is good, we repair and we improve our spiritual vision. And when our long-distance vision is good, we are able to see clearly with that which is immediately in front of us. And that was the situation at that table as I sat on the one side and she sat on the other, because you see, my vision and my worry was in the present, and her concern was in the future. And it cleared my vision. When our long-distance vision is good, we are able to clearly see what is immediately in front of us, such as our problems, and we can more effectively tend to the task at hand. And so I want to talk about fixing our eyes. I want to talk about training our eyes. I want to talk about turning our eyes. I want to talk about focusing our eyes on Jesus first, and then on the other things that really matter. If we are seeing what we should be seeing, if we are focusing on what we should be focusing on, if we have fixed our vision on what we should fix our vision, we will not lose heart. And I think so many of us today, my Christian brethren, losing heart. Look at it again. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want to look at three unseen yet eternal priorities where we should fix our eyes every day of our lives. We should fix our eyes. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. I don't know how to preach any other way than practically. Okay, because I gotta have this. I need this. Look, I'm facing the same thing you are. The same cares and the same concerns, and I'm trying to deal with them. If these priorities are our focus, then we're not gonna lose heart. These three unseen yet eternal priorities. Whether the storms of life are raging all around us, and they are. For many of us, there's storms all over the place. There's all kinds of problems. We call them alligators. Alligators climbing all over us. We understand that. I understand that. We can stay strong. We can stay committed. And we can stay confident. Now, I guess you probably have figured out what the first point is already, right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Now, you say, "Steve, that that's pretty obvious, isn't it? I mean, come on, man. You weren't able to come up with anything a little bit more complex than that. I think that's something that all of us have thought about. Well, yeah. You know, what it reminded me of is the teacher that asked questions in Vacation Bible School when I was a kid. And if you were asked a question and if you guessed the answer is Jesus, you had a good chance of getting that right, okay? Every time I got asked a question, I'd try to figure out how to say Jesus in there somewhere. In the Christian life, when you first answer every situation, problem, concern that you have, if your first answer to that issue that comes out of your mouth is Jesus, Jesus the Christ, you got a 100% chance of getting it right every time, because that's the answer every time. We often want to face and focus and fix our eyes on our troubles, our problems that we're going through. In the current moment, right there where we're breathing. Because we feel like they can't be avoided. Because they can't be avoided. And we know that they have to be dealt with. Because we want to fix those problems and we want to make it better. But they become like staring at the computer, if you will, the computer screen up close, or that TV when I was a little boy. And they distort and they blur our vision. Do you understand what it is that I'm trying to tell you? But when we look away from our problems, listen, we're going to have problems all the time. Everybody's going to have problems. I'm going to have problems. You're going to have problems. Your next door neighbor going to have problems. Anybody that lives in this world is going to have issues and concerns and problems to deal with, and horror and sorrow and heartache. But when we focus our eyes on Jesus, we see our situation with clarity. Now, in the book of Hebrews, those of you who have studied Hebrews, the author is talking about Moses' courage in leading the people of Israel out of Egypt in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it is verse 27, where he says he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Why did he persevere? Because he saw him who is invisible. And then look, a few verses later, I just love this. A few verses later, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now let's look at the verses leading up to today's text. I want to go back to verse 5. For what we preached is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. What we preached is Jesus Christ as Lord. And then when you look at verse 14, look at what it says. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. When your problems loom large, I'm going to tell you, this is my advice, because I think it's the scripture's advice. When your problems loom large, step aside for a moment and look to Jesus. Step aside for a moment and focus on Jesus. I want you to focus on his ministry. I want you to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I want you to walk with him. And I want you to talk with him. And I want you to listen to him. And I want you to see the expression on his face and the way he dealt with things. Focus on his death. Focus on his resurrection. Focus on his life as a teacher. Look at how he dealt with people. Look at how he was a wonderful healer. Even his life as a carpenter early on. Focus in on that. Focus on him. How did he react to issues? Was he just an absolute basket case all the time? Day to day, as he faced the pounding from living life as a man, just like you and me, but with all the suffering that he had to deal with. Scripture says he is the author and finisher of our faith, and yet we often direct our attention to everything but his presence. I hear people say all the time, you know what, Jesus Christ is with me. He is with me. I'm a Christian. He is with me. Well, I believe he's with you too. But you know what? I think a lot of times, and I can speak for myself, we just don't give him any attention. Sometimes I think Jesus Christ is waving his hands like this, and he's going, hey, Garrett, right here. And sometimes I'm in this building, this meeting house, and I feel the same way. Hey, guys, I'm here. I'm right here. Hey, look over here. Look at me, for crying out loud. Where's your mind? What are you thinking? Sometimes during worship, I wonder, you know, what would Jesus say right now? What would he say about us? Sometimes when I'm going about my day, you know, I'm wondering if he's standing here and knocking me on the head and, you know, and what would he say? Every day of your life, you need to set your problems aside. And this is what you need to do. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, I can't stand to have those lyrics up there without the song. I can't, because the music so enhances these words. Would you sing this with me, just this verse? Would you sing it with me, please? Let's sing it. Let's let the music help us to think about these words. These words are important, ladies and gentlemen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Paul said he doesn't lose heart because he stays focused on that which is eternal. He stays focused on that which is eternal. Focus your eyes on Jesus. Is it a simple point? Yes. Is it difficult to do? You better believe it is. And if you say it's not, because you're not being honest. Turn your eyes upon him. Point number two. Turn your eyes upon those you are called to serve. At the beginning of this chapter, this is what Paul says. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have this work to do, Paul says. There is work for us to do. And that simply doesn't allow us any room to lose heart. We don't have time to lose heart, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to notice that when Paul says we have this ministry, he is not talking about some organization of some kind or another. He wasn't in the process of building a ministry empire. All right? I see that going on all the time in churches around the United States. There was no ministry headquarters, okay, for Paul. There was no marketing team. There was no administrative staff. There was no product line to promote. My goodness, I've seen hats and t-shirts. I have seen banners and signs. I have seen books that have been written to enhance this ministry. Paul's ministry was not an organization. You want me to tell you what Paul's ministry was? Here's what Paul's ministry was. People, people, people. That's what it was. That's what his ministry was. That's it. Just people. Just people. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That's why he said that we do not preach about ourselves. We don't focus on ourselves. Every now and then I see ministries in these churches become all about the church, all about the organization, all about the building, elaborate building that they have. They preach themselves. They advertise themselves. And of course, the church never saved anybody, as far as I'm concerned. That's why we focus on what Jesus can do and not what we can do. Jesus saves. I like it when I drive by a building and there's a sign out front that says, such and such church meets here. Such and such church meets here. There's an important distinction to make. I remember the one time I got to teach the little kids back there, we were kind of talking about that, you know, and I said, I did it this way. I said, here's the building. The Kleinwood folks always get aggravated with me about this, but they're the only one I know that has a steeple. Here's the building. Kleinwood has a steeple. We don't. Open the doors, and there, kids, is the church. That's me, and it's you. The building isn't the church. The people are the church. We are the called out. We don't exist for the building. Listen to me. This building exists for us. It exists for us. It helps us more effectively serve others because that's what we're supposed to do. Let me tell you what this building is. This building is nothing more than a tool in our bag. That's all it is. It's a tool. We got a tool that's falling down all around us, but yet still, it's a tool. What's more important, this building or us, the family? I think you know the answer to that. The work that God has called us to do, the work that God has called you to do, it involves serving people. The best example of that in the world is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh my. He spent his life serving people. You talk about the ultimate pass or fail in your work. It's not based on what you accumulate. It's about hearts that you reach through the Word of God, through the power of the cross. Lives that you help change. Paul says, you want to do this. You want to love others because people are worth it. Because every one of you are worth it. And everyone that's on the outside of this building is worth it, ladies and gentlemen. Every last one. You don't lose heart when you're able to remember those whom you are called to serve. You don't lose heart when your service will benefit the lives of others. And sometimes the people you serve, they're not even fully aware of your service in helping them. They don't even know. Sometimes they don't need to know. Your efforts may not fully be appreciated from time to time. You are not supposed to be in this for the accolades. That's not what this is about, okay? That's not what this is about. You're not working for people's appreciation. You're working for their benefit. And I think no one understands that better than parents, right? Especially parents that have teenagers. Sometimes kids don't fully grasp the significance of the many sacrifices that their mom and their dad make on a daily basis for their benefit. And parents, it might be that your children never do. But we don't serve others so that we get a pat on the back. That's not what this is about. You know, I can remember when I first started preaching. That was a long time ago now. Eek. Anyway, when I first started preaching, I remember that the custom was that the preacher would always stand at the door. Do you guys remember that? Yeah, preacher always stood by the door. That's what you were supposed to do. And growing up, that's what I thought a preacher was supposed to do, is go back there and stand by the door and wait till everybody passed you by. And I can remember that when I first started preaching, well, I don't know if I'm much better now than I am then, if at all, but I can remember that there were some times that people were struggling to know what to say, you know, as they passed me going out that door, you know. I mean, it was tough. They didn't want to lie, you know. But it came to me that I understood early on that it wasn't about, the gospel preaching wasn't about accolades. Not at all. And it's not about putting yourself out there as though you are something, because you are not, save for the glory of Jesus Christ and the word that you've been given the honor and opportunity to speak. And it got to be that even in gospel meetings, at the end of the service, I stayed up front. I wouldn't go to the back. It's not about me. It's about the word. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Y'all help me with that slide, please. The next slide. Well, maybe not the next slide. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I'm speaking from experience, ladies and gentlemen, when I say that the one thing that has kept me from tossing in the towel this year. Now, you might say to yourself, well, you mean to tell me, Steve, you've thought about tossing in the towel? You bet I have. No moss, no moss. Okay, remember that from last Sunday? The only thing that's kept me from doing this, you may not believe this, but there's a lot of times that I just want to take the whole preaching gig and just go do something else, because the devil has a heyday with me sometimes. He fights me and causes me to doubt myself. But the one thing that's kept me from tossing in the towel is knowing that God has placed in my life those for whom it is a privilege to serve. How can I lose heart when I've been blessed with such meaningful work? How can I lose heart? I fix my eyes on those that I am called to serve. And if you do that, you won't lose heart. And that's what I have to begin to do. I have to go back in my memory, and I have to look, and I have to see what's occurred in the past, and I have to understand what God Almighty has done through my feeble efforts and from those in that particular congregation where I was working. So important, ladies and gentlemen, so important. We need to turn our eyes upon God's ongoing work in our life. There's 2 Timothy 2:10. Turn your eyes on God's ongoing work in your life. In Philippians, Paul said that God has begun a work in us that he will see to completion. It begins when we obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It continues until the day that we see him face to face. And that's not just the gospel preacher. That's not just the elder or the deacon or whatever. That's every last one of us. So don't lose sight of all that God is doing in your life. You need to look. You need to reflect on what he's doing. Okay? It's obvious. You need to reflect on that. Don't lose sight. Paul says in verse 1 of this chapter, through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Paul understood all along why he was a Christian, why it was that he was an apostle, why it was that he was, I call it a church planter. That's what he was, a church planter. Why he was a missionary. It was not because he was such a great guy. Well, he said of himself that he was chief of sinners. Okay, so we know it wasn't that. He understood that his life had significance only because he was a sinner transformed by God's grace. And he was so thankful for that. Through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Maybe you can look back at the person that you used to be. Maybe you can go look in that mirror for a little while and you think back about what it was you were. And then you start thinking about the victories that you have won. The opportunities that the Lord has provided for you. Victory over sin. Victory over failure. Victory over difficult battles. Victory over terrible attitudes. When you follow Jesus, you see what happens is the victories just keep coming. Paul talked about that in verse 8 when he said, verse 8 and 9, we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed. We're going to be hard pressed in this life. We're going to have issues in this life, but we're not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. We were almost beaten, Paul says. Sometimes very close to being beaten. But we pull through. And why is it that we pull through? We have this treasure in jars of clay. You know what that means? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure. All that you come in contact with, from your family to your people that you are with at work, and whoever God blesses you with opportunity to come in contact with, those jars of clay, that you have an opportunity to impress upon Jesus in your life, the love of God for all mankind, and his desire that we spend eternity with him. Okay, it's football season. Do you guys know who that is? If you're a Florida Gator fan, you know who that is. I'm personally not a Florida Gator fan, but I am a Tim Tebow fan. You remember him? Well, he's about to show up again this fall, playing for Jacksonville. And I've got to tell you, I'm looking forward to it as a football fan. I don't like the NFL very much, but I like Tim Tebow. These verses remind me of how Tebow played football when he was in Denver, when he was playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos, how he always managed to pull the victory out. And he'd be certain defeat, and somehow or another, he pulled out the victory. He always managed that. And maybe 2 minutes left to go. You're down by 15. How in the world can you possibly win? Somehow they won week after week. Even all the way into the second round of the playoffs, as I remember. And, of course, I also appreciated the fact that he always wore the scripture on his face. And whether or not anybody liked it or not, he knelt before the Lord before every game and prayed. He wasn't looking for accolades on that. The press hunted him down. And I really appreciated that about him. But that's how God works in our lives, I believe. We face more than a few close calls. There's going to be the two-minute warning in our lives from time to time. And we're going to get knocked down. And we're going to get beat up. But we got to get up. We got to get up again and again because the scripture says there is no knocking us out. You cannot knock us out, devil. There is no way in the world that that's going to happen. It can't happen. It can only happen if you allow it to happen. Proverbs chapter 24 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again." They rise again. They rise again every time. And the devil has to look at you in the face every time you rise again. What you got now? When you're tempted to start waving the white flag, when you are tempted to start throwing in the towel, don't tell me you're not going to be tempted to do that. Every last one of us that lives on this earth is going to be tempted from time to time to do that. I want you to look back and I want you to see all that God has done to get you here. There have been times that I've been at my wit's end. And I know that's been the way it is, I'm sure, with you. But I never had a reason to lose hope. I knew I would never be abandoned as long as I loved him and I followed his commandments. I knew I was living in God's power and not my own. Before you think about losing hope, focus on all that God has done for you. The mercy that he has shown through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The protection he has given you every moment of every day. And then focus on the promise that is to come. Verse 14, where it says, "We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus." And then I was thinking about it. I went back to John, too. 1 John chapter 3. "We know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." We will be like him. Or we shall see him as he is. Each and every one of us in here today, each and every one can say, "My life has been tough in many ways." And I know it has. That's because everybody's life is tough. Some people, their lives, maybe they look easy from a distance. I know there's some people I've come into contact with in my life, and I look at them and I go, "My gracious, it's been easy for them." But they all face challenges, just like we do. We can all say life has been tough. But if you follow Christ, you can say, "But look at how far I've come. Look at all he has done for me. There is no way that I'm going to turn back now. I'm not turning back now. It ain't happening. You can forget it." Now, I want to conclude this. I've probably gone too long already anyway. But do y'all remember, I was telling you about Vacation Bible School. You know how to spell joy? J-O-Y. I love this. Jesus, others, and you. Okay? These are our eternal unseen priorities. Remember, I told you that from the beginning. I was going to give you some unseen eternal priorities. Well, here they are. Jesus, others, and you. You live for Jesus. You serve Jesus. You think only of yourself in context of God's grace in your life. If all you can see is today, you will see nothing but the problems that you are facing, nothing but the futility of life. You won't see the treasure of God's plan for your life. You need to look at that. You'll only see the jar of clay. But if you will choose to see the unseen, you will look deep into the distance. You fix your vision. You fix your vision on that which matters most of all, and that's loving Jesus, and that's serving others, and that's allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in your life. And you've got to allow it. Focus on the eternal, the challenges you face, you will be able to face with greater clarity. One last adage. The further ahead you see, the greater your capacity to endure. Focus on Jesus. Focus on others. Focus on your service. So look far and look deep into that which matters the most. Thank you very much for your kind attention. It was an honor to speak to you from God's Word. and to talk with you about these things that are very, very important to me, that are found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In order to start a life with Jesus and to be a part of his family, you're going to have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has told us in clear terms that the way to grace is through the water. We believe with all of our heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We repent of our sins. We turn away from the life that we've been living to live for Jesus, to focus on Jesus. You see, he's the author and finisher of our faith. To confess his name before men, and he will confess us before his Father. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I tell you, the Bible is real clear about us focusing on Jesus. But you know what Jesus focused on when he was here? The Father. He focused on the Father. He always focused on the Father. He is our example of what we are to do when we face trouble. When he was in the garden, who did he focus on? When he was in that misery before the cross, who did he focus on? The Father. And the Father provided the comfort. In order to be a part of his family, we focus on him, and he's commanded us to repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. So we are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we begin to walk with Jesus, and we become a part of his family. If there's someone here that needs the prayers of the church, please know that we're ready to do that. Any way that we can serve you, help you. Those of you that are watching the live stream this morning, please know that all you have to do is call somebody on the phone, and we will pray for you, assist you in any kind of way that we possibly can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love.